Isaiah chapter 64. Oh, that you would rip open the heavens and descend, make the mountains shudder at your presence, as when a forest catches fire, as when fire makes a pot to boil, to shock your enemies into facing you, make the nations shake in their boots. You did terrible things we never expected, descended and made the mountains shudder at your presence. Since before time began, no one has ever imagined, no ear heard, no eye seen, a God like you who works for those who wait for him. You met those who happily do what is right and keep a good memory of the way you work. But how angry you've been with us. We've sinned and kept at it so long. Is there any hope for us? Can we be saved? We're all sin infected, sin contaminated. Our best efforts are grease-stained rags. We dry up like autumn leaves. Sin dried, we're blown off by the wind. No one prays to you or makes the effort to reach out to you because you've turned away from us, left us to stew in our sins. But still, God, you are our Father. We're the clay and you're our potter. All of us are what you made us. Don't be too angry with us, O God. Don't keep it a permanent account of wrongdoing. Some folks are just better at waiting than others. Some of us seem to have been completely overlooked when the patience gene was passed out. Dealing with traffic and checkout lines over the next several weeks leading up to Christmas would just put a giant exclamation mark on the simple fact that we hate to wait, right? Come on, get on with it. But what if what you were being asked to wait on wasn't just something trivial like making this light or the next one? What if it wasn't just standing in line with a pounding headache, trying to ignore a bunch of screaming kids? You'd think I'd be smart enough to leave them at home, right? What if what you were being asked to wait on was God? This morning we begin a new series of sermons, Time for Advent, titled Why We Are Waiting, The Blessing of Patience. Oh, that you would rip open the heavens and descend. This is the plea of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 64, verse 1. How often have our hearts prayed for the same thing? How often have we longed for God to break into this broken world and to set things right? How often have we yearned for him to bring the chaos of our times under his reign of peace, to see him come down and claim his crown as a rightful king? We've all prayed that prayer. Come and make it right, Lord. Step in and do something about this awful mess. And yet, as we wait, God does some amazing work. While we're busy waiting for his marvelous display of power and justice and mercy, he quietly, calmly, and consistently is at work in us, changing us more and more into the image of Jesus. While we are waiting, God molds us. There are a number of instances of patience in the Bible, from those who are considered to be great down to the small and insignificant maybe characters. Characters like Job or David or Anna and Simeon, the prophets who were at Jesus' circumcision. But the one character in the Bible that fascinates me most in the aspect of waiting, the one that gives me hope, is Moses. Let's look at Stephen's abbreviated account from Acts chapter 7, beginning with verse 23. It says, when he was 40 years old, he wondered how everything was going with his Hebrew kin and went out to look things over. He saw an Egyptian abusing one of them and stepped in, avenging his underdog brother by knocking the Egyptian flat. He thought his brothers would be glad that he was on their side and even see him as an instrument of God to deliver them. But they didn't see it that way. The next day, two of them were fighting and he tried to break it up. He told them to shake hands and get along with each other. Friends, you are brothers. Why are you beating each other up? Beating up on each other. The one who had started the fight said, who put you in charge of us? Are you going to kill me like you killed the Egyptian yesterday? When Moses heard that, realizing that the word was out, he ran for his life and lived in exile over in Midian. During the years of exile, two sons were born to him. 40 years later, in the wilderness of Mount Sinai, an angel appeared to him in the guise of flames of a burning bush. Moses, not believing his eyes, went up to take a closer look. He heard God's voice. I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Frightened nearly out of his skin, Moses shut his eyes and turned away. God said, kneel and pray. You are in a holy place, on holy ground. I've seen the agony of my people in Egypt. I've heard their groans. I've come to help them. Get yourself ready. I'm sending you back to Egypt. So, at the age of 40, under the best of intentions, the adopted prince of Egypt became a murderer. And then he fled. And for the next 40 years, he raised a family and he raised sheep. A lot can happen in 40 years' time. A lot can change in 40 years' time. Let's look back to see. 40 years ago, 55-mile-an-hour speed limit was introduced by President Nixon. Happy Days began its 11-year run on ABC. Patricia Hearst was kidnapped by the Assembianese Liberation Army. Good Times debuted on CBS. People Magazine began going on sale. First class postage was raised to 10 cents from 8 cents. Barbara Walters became the new co-anchor of the Today Show. The UPC is scanned for the first time to sell a package of Wrigley's chewing gum at the Marsh Supermarket in Troy, Ohio. Richard Nixon resigns the presidency. Gerald Ford is sworn in an oath of office and became the 38th president. The SR-71 Blackbird sets the record for flying from New York to London, 1 hour, 54 minutes, and 56.4 seconds. Ford and Brezhnev sign the SALT II treaty. Monty Python's Flying Circus airs its final episode on BBC. Archie Griffin won the 40th Heisman Trophy. And the Altair 8800 computer was featured on the cover of Popular Electronics. The cost of an average house, $34,900. Average wage, $13,900. Cost of a gallon of gas, 55 cents. Average month's rent, $185. Average cost of a new car, $3,750. A lot can happen in 40 years. A lot can change in 40 years. But God's work of molding Moses didn't just begin in the crucible of the Midian desert. God had been working on Moses and in his situation for 80 years. A lot can happen in 80 years. A lot can change in 80 years. 80 years ago, Donald Duck appeared for the first time in The Wise Little Hen. Alcatraz Island officially became a federal prison. The FDIC was put into effect. Flash Gordon comic strip debuted. Charles Lindbergh Jr.'s kidnapper, Bruno Hopton, arrested and charged with murder. The first high school driver's education course was offered in State College, Pennsylvania. Shirley Temple appeared in her first movie, Stand Up and Cheer. Near their hideout in Black Lake, Louisiana, FBI men ambushed bank robbers Bonnie Parker and Clyde Barrow, killing them. TWA, commercial airline service, began. The luxury liner Queen Mary is launched in Scotland. Bank robber Babyface Nelson dies in a shootout with the FBI. American pilot Wiley Post discovered the jet stream. And the great Dust Bowl storms swept across the U.S. plains and prairies. A lot can happen in 80 years. A lot can change in 80 years. This is Moses' story. A man who was in preparation for the Lord. A man who was being molded by God. Let's look at some quick observations from Moses' story. Things that we can learn, hopefully apply. First, God molds us no matter what our age. Whether it was the circumstances around his birth and adoption, his royal Egyptian training in his formative years, or his time spent raising a family and tending a flock, God was at work in Moses' life, molding him into the person that he needed to be. It didn't matter what his age was. God had a purpose for his life, and he has a purpose for you. Second, God molds us in spite of our sin. Moses was a murderer. At best, a manslaughterer. I don't know if that's the right term. He'd killed a guy. There's no two ways around that. And in many of our eyes, there is a class of sin that disqualifies us for God's service. But if you look at the people that God has called and chosen throughout the Bible, you'll find over and over again that God uses us in spite of our sin. God molds us in spite of our fear. Moses fled for his life when he confronted the Israelites and, you know, hey, why don't you guys get along? And this guy just threw it right back in his face. Are you gonna kill me like you did other? He was scared. And rightly so. He was an Israelite. He had killed an Egyptian, and his neck was at stake. So he took off, and he fled. But in spite of that fear of a real threat that stood over his shoulders, God was able to use him. He molded him. He changed him. He took him out to the desert, introduced him to some long-lost kin, and allowed him to spend some time in training camp part two. God molds us in our exile. It's interesting that Moses had to kind of be shuffled off. He had to go and he had to be the forerunner in the desert, because that's where God was going to use him 40 years later. From Moses' perspective, nobody wanted him. Israel didn't see him as God's deliverer. Egypt just wanted to kill him. Realize that God may have to lead you into the desert so that later he can use you to lead others through the desert. God molds us according to his purpose. This is where the hard one gets. God is willing to use whatever means necessary to do whatever it takes to bring about his purposes. For God, the ends always justify the means. Whatever he has to do to get the job done. Some may ask, did Moses really have to tend sheep for 40 years? Can't say for sure, but I know that he did. Did the Israelites have to wander in the desert for 40 years? Can't say for sure, but I know that they did. Did Jesus really have to taste human torture of the cruelest kind and be executed in the most brutal and humiliating way? Can't say for sure, but I know that he did. God is willing to do whatever is necessary to accomplish what he sets to do. And so sometimes that means there's pain involved for us. Maybe we've set our lives on a course that it's not where it needs to be. I want to be real sensitive here. There's times when things happen, bad things happen to people. And the objection is raised, how could God let that happen? In Romans chapter 8, talks about how God is able to use all things for his good. But we also at times get a sense that God allows this stuff to happen. He's even though it may seem difficult for us to wrap our minds around, he takes responsibility for the bad things that happen in people's lives and uses it for good. The story doesn't end when God calls Moses. Though he was reluctant, Moses answers the call, and God takes him on a 40-year adventure. All that time of preparation before he was born, during his formative years, as he was in exile in Midian, they all set him up for this task of leading God's people out of Egypt. And to this day, when we speak in terms of the Old Testament, if you look in the New Testament, they frequently will, you know, writers, authors will mention Moses. And the reference is not just to him as an individual, but it encompasses all that is involved with the law, with the Exodus, with the plagues, everything that took place there, God's demonstration of his might and his power to deliver his people. And it's summarized very succinctly, often with just the mention of Moses. So the question becomes, what about you? Will you answer God's call? Has he been molding you for a great work? Has he been shaping your life and your circumstance to prepare you for something that's maybe yet out there? Maybe it's now. It's difficult at times to cast an eye forward and to see, where may God be leading me? But it's much easier to look back and to see how God has led us through times in our lives, how he has brought us to this place. And it gives us hope that the things that maybe we don't understand in our lives to this point, the setbacks that we have faced, the losses that we have had, whatever it is that you may look on and say, why, Lord? That answer may still be coming. And maybe the challenge is to you now. Maybe now is the time. Maybe this is the place. If you find that the story of Moses, how God molded him, is something that connects to you with you, I would challenge you to look. Look at your opportunities. Look at your life. Look and listen where God may be calling you to. It just might be a desert, but it may be the beginning of a great adventure. If there's anything that we can help you with this morning, if there's anything that we can do, if we can be of assistance with you, pray with you, help you along in your journey, we would love to do that. If you would like to take first steps, if you would like to place membership with here with us, if you would like to put on Christ in baptism, we can assist you with that. Whatever your needs may be, give us an opportunity to be your family, to be a part of your journey. As we stand and sing this song together.